And Father, we thank you for those wonderful words through our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight, our teaching is going to be on the history of Beth-El and some other topics, too. Beth-El means what? Beth means house of El. House of El. So Beth-Laham. Laham is the word for bread. Beth in front, Beth-Laham is house of bread. So we're going to begin with Jacob. His name is actually Jacob. In Genesis 28. Verse 1 through 4. This is kind of the preface. 1 through 4, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. And this is something to realize too. Remember, the church today, many times they call Jacob or Jacob the great deceiver, on and on and on. You know, and so you're going to say, we're going to find out Yahweh doesn't do that. So if Yahweh doesn't do that, you should never do that. And neither does his father Isaac. And here's Isaac, and this is after
what verse
he got to bless.
28:1.
Genesis 28, verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and commanded him and said to him, you SOB? Nope. Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Rise, go thy way to Padam Aram, to the house of thy mother's father, and take thee from thence a wife of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And El Shaddai bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, so shall thou become a multitude of peoples. And may he give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest possess the land of thy sojournings, which Elohim gave to Abraham. That's our context. Now we go to verse 10 through 22. So we're going to read a lot. So this will tell us about Beth-El. So if somebody would like to, maybe Aaron, you begin, and then we can stop.
So Jacob went forth from Beersheba and journeyed towards Haran. And he lighted on a place and tarried the night there, because the sun had gone in. And he took the stones of the place and put for it his pillow, and lay down in that place. And he dreamed, and lo, a stairway planted earthwards, and its top reached towards the heavens. And lo, messengers of Elohim ascending and descending thereon. And lo, Yahweh standing by him. And he said, I am Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, thy father, and Elohim of Isaac. The land wherein thou art lying, to thee will I give, and to thy seed.
Let's stop there. Now, you would think that Yahweh would be reproving Jacob if what Rebekah and Jacob did, if they sinned, Yahweh would have been reproving him, as Gad did to David. But this first encounter, Yahweh is not reproving Isaac.
Jacob.
He's not reproving Jacob at this time at all. He's actually giving him promises. And so continue on 14.
And thy seed shall become as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt break forth westward and eastward and northward and southward. And all the families of the ground shall be blessed in thee and in thy seed. Lo, when I am with thee, so will I keep thee in every place whithersoever thou mayest go. And I will bring thee back into this soil. For I will not forsake thee until I have done that of which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely Yahweh was in this place, and I knew it not. And he feared and said, how fearful is this place? None other than this than the house of Elohim, nor this than the gate of the heavens. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone which he had put for his pillow, and put it for a pillar, and poured out oil upon thereof. And he called the name of the place Beth-El. Nevertheless, Luz was the name of the city aforetime, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If Elohim be with me, and will keep me in this way whereon I am going, and give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, and I will come back in prosperity into the house of my father, then will Yahweh prove to be my Elohim. And this stone which I have put for a pillar shall it be the house of Elohim. In all which thou shalt give me, a tenth will I tithe unto thee.
That's the beginning of Beth-El, which makes it a holy place because Yahweh encountering Jacob.
Jacob. What does Beth mean?
House.
House of. Now we go to 31, chapter Genesis 31. Okay. Gotta find my. Over here. There's 31. 1-3. Then heard he the words of the sons of Laban, saying, Jacob had taken away all that belonged to our father. So he's been there for 20 years, and he's going to be leaving. Yea, out of what belongs to our father hath he made all this wealth. You know, reminds you of a Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really comes down to it. And Jacob looked upon the face of Laban, and lo, it was not with him as aforetime. Then said Yahweh unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, that I may be with thee. Yahweh communicating with him. Now we go to verse 13. I am the El of Beth-El.
Is that El Shaddai?
No, that's his El.
Okay.
That's El of Beth-El, where thou didst anoint a pillar, where thou didst vow to me a vow. Now rise, go forth out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So here's Yahweh talking again. I am the God of Beth-El. So we're going to get a real significance. The holiness that this is done with the 12 tribes, because we're going to see Jeroboam later on going to utilize that to put a god there. You know, because it is established as a holy place with the father of the 12 tribes, which is Jacob. Important to keep that in consideration. And that's where the counterfeit comes in. So we're going to see something that's very holy that Satan, through other individuals, is going to take that holiness and make it corrupt and still call it a holy place.
Sounds like Jerusalem today.
Yeah, it really comes down to it. And Jerusalem back when it fell with Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Yahweh even told them that Jerusalem is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And we even saw that with Yahushua. When Yahushua, who lived in Capernaum, did all great signs in Capernaum, and he said, Woe to you, Capernaum! If Sodom and Gomorrah would have had the sights that you've seen, they would have repented a long time ago. Alas for you. So this is, goes all
the way. I thought you said it about Jerusalem.
Yeah, he said that too. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that slay the prophets. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at Yahweh's holy places should be holy, and they're not, but this is the foundation of Bethel was holy. And we're going to go to 35 now, Genesis 35. And then we'll see how the counterfeit comes in. 35, 1 through 15, so this is a good point too. Melania, why don't you start reading?
Then said Yahweh unto Jacob,
arise. No, that's not Yahweh. Remember, in the Old Covenant, it's always Elohim.
Okay.
In the Old Covenant, we never put Yahweh for Elohim or El. It's always El or Elohim or Eloah. We only put Yahweh for God in the New Testament, New Covenant.
Okay.
So let me just begin this, and I'll let you take over. Then said Elohim unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make thee an altar to the El, who hath appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. So here, coming right back, 20 years later, now go ahead and read 2.
And Jacob said unto his house and unto all who were with him, put away the gods of the alien which are in your midst, then purify yourselves and change your garments. And let us arise and go up unto Bethel, that I may make there an altar to the El who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way that I went. So they gave unto Jacob all the gods and the of the alien which were in their hand and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And
they stopped there, but isn't that strange?
Why were there any gods?
Yeah, why were there any gods? And so it's just over and over and over again that people have got to have something they want to see. Verse 5.
And they break up, and it was came to pass that the terror of Elohim was on the cities which were round about them, so that they pursued not after the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came towards Luz, which was in the land of Canaan, the same as Bethel, and he and all the people who were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there Elohim revealed himself unto him, and he fled from the face of his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's niece, died and was buried below Bethel under the oak. So the name thereof was called Alon Bakuth. And Elohim appeared unto Jacob again when he came from the Paddan Aram and blessed him. And Elohim said unto him, thy name is Jacob, and thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. So he called his name Israel. Elohim said unto him, I am...
This is El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a multitude of nations shall spring from thee, and kings from thy loins shall come forth. And the land which I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. One thing we have to realize, walking with Yahweh, there's going to be adversity. Mm-hmm. Look at Jacob's life. You know, his brothers try to kill him. Laban would try to kill him if he could. Laban's sons probably would have tried to kill him. When it comes down to it, so it's just over and over and over. And it looked like, I don't think the hand of Yahweh is yesterday, because he's got great prosperity, he has great wealth, but he had to earn it. But Yahweh multiplied it. Now 13, and Elohim went up from him at the place where he had spoken with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured it out there on a drink offering and poured on it oil. And Jacob called the name of the place where Elohim had spoken with him Bethel. So we see the history of the importance of Bethel. Now, give you some locations here. Bethel is 10 miles north of Jerusalem. Dan, which we're going to know too, because that comes, Bethel and Dan come into the picture with Jeroboam, where he makes two gods. One is in Bethel and one is in Dan. So Dan is 100 miles from Jerusalem. And it's north, obviously, all the way up to north, close to the Euphrates. And then we got, you always hear a lot of times, Beersheba to Dan. Beersheba is the lowest part of David's kingdom.
Of what?
That's south, southwest. And that is, from Beersheba to Dan, this is David's kingdom that Yahweh has given him, is 172 miles. So it'd be like us going to Kansas City. So all the territory from here to Kansas City was David's land. Beersheba means well of the oath. So they took an oath there. Abraham with Abimelech. They made an oath at a well. And that's why it's called Beersheba. Now, so Bethel, we've got the history that it's a holy place. But as we know, the Ark of the Covenant is going to be coming in. The Tent of Meetings. And we see the first building of it is in Exodus, which is becoming a holy place now, because it looked like Bethel is where Yahweh, or El, lived, made it holy, because when Jacob went there, he had dreams and he had visions, and Yahweh spoke to him there. would tell him to go there. Okay. Now we're going to get into Moses. And we know in Exodus 40, verse 34 to 38, that is the putting together of the temple, the tent of meetings. Excuse me. That was in the first year, or I think that's the beginning of the second year in the Exodus. And that's the end of the book. Now we know in Numbers 1, verse 50 to 51, we don't have to go there, but we know the Levites surrounded the tent to keep it holy. So they were in charge of the tent of meetings, which the tent of meetings represented the habitation of who? Yahweh. Right. So that's where, if you wanted to go to meet Yahweh, you went to the tent of meetings. With Jacob, if you wanted to meet Elohim, or El, you went to Beth El, or Yahweh, you went to Beth El. Beth El was a holy place. Altars were built, sacrifices were done. Now we see in Joshua 4:19, it is moved to Gilgal. And in Gilgal, the following of the tent of meetings. So Joshua takes the tent of meetings and goes up across the Jordan. And, the tent of meetings is right around there. It's on the other side of the Jordan, the east side of the Jordan, across from Jericho. So that's where the tent of the holy place is, now where Yahweh is abiding.
That's where he put it.
Yeah, that's wherever it goes. Then in Joshua 18:1, it goes to Shiloh. And we'll just start there. Joshua 18:1. Because we're going to do the comparison with the Ark of the Covenant, the habitation of Yahweh, and Bethel.
Would you mind repeating?
18. Joshua 18, verse 1. So Shiloh was very important.
Verse 10.
Then were gathered together all the assembly of the sons of Israel at Shiloh, and they set up there the what? The tent of meetings, the land having been subdued before them. So where you came and did ascending sacrifices was at the altar in Shiloh. That's where Yahweh's habitation was. Then it went to Gibeon. And so we can see 1 Kings 2, 4. Well, Shiloh is 19 miles north of Jerusalem. We know Bethel is 10 miles north of Jerusalem, so Shiloh is farther than Bethlehem. You know, there is no Jerusalem at this particular time with Shiloh, with Joshua. Really, Jerusalem came into being with David.
The Jebusites are there, though.
Yeah, the Jebusites, but it's not... So we're talking about a long time, hundreds of years. Now we go to 1 Kings 3, 4. We're going to see Gibeon. So then the king, we're talking about Solomon. So remember, David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. But the sacrifices were still done in Gibeon. And which is, Gibeon is 5 miles northwest of Jerusalem. So then the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. 1,000 ascending sacrifices did Solomon offer up on that altar. And Gibeon is where Yahweh is going to appear to Solomon, as you can see below it. In Gibeon, Yahweh appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and Elohim said, "What shall I give thee?" And we know he's asking wisdom.
It's like him appearing to Jacob.
Yeah, similar, so that you have the sacrifices and the dreams and the visions. But it's at Gibeon, and... then it's going to Jerusalem, as we know with David. So David, he tried to bring up the Ark of the Covenant originally, and they put it on wagons, and the person died on that. So Obed-Edom took care of it. until they found out you got to have Levites, you know, do it. And that's what we've got to look at too. Many times, weddings and marriage, we're in sin because we don't know what the word says. So David didn't know what the word said about the Ark of the Covenant, so he just picked it up and put it on a wagon. No. Yahweh specifically said it is not carried by animals or wagon. It is carried by the Levites on staffs, and only the Levites can carry it.
And specific staff.
Yeah. I mean, everything is laid out there, but by David's ignorance, by not knowing the scriptures, somebody died. And you see the same thing today in marriage and everything else, that people don't know what the word says. And so they go on committing a sin, and Yahweh says, you know, oy vey. You know, how many times, like, why don't you read my book? I told you not to do that. Well, I didn't know that. Well, you didn't read the book. Or the pastor didn't say anything about it. It's just an example. You know, divorces are supposed to be done by the church, period. Does anybody's church do divorces? No. Why not?
It's not popular.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, you are the judges. The saints are the judges. Not the unbeliever, but we're in defiance of that. We'll do the marriages, and we'll do the baby christenings, but we will not do the divorce. You know, so that's the same example, and that's been going on for, I don't know, hundreds of years.
Thousands of years.
I don't know about, at least in the United States. You know, people weren't divorced before, and so now it's very common. Now we go to, let's see here, 1 Chronicles 21. And we're seeing a transition from the tent, from the altar where the ascending sacrifice were done at Gibeon, which is 6 miles northwest of Jerusalem. So you have to say, if you want to go do sacrifices, you know, it's a 3-hour walk, 4-hour walk to go there and do the sacrifices. And now we're going to see it being brought into Jerusalem. So, 1 Corinthians 21, let me get there.
1 Chronicles?
1 Chronicles, yeah, 1 Chronicles 21. Not Corinthians. And we all know this, and this is after, you know, something very unusual to understand. You always got to open up our eyes. It doesn't make any sense. David numbering Israel. David said, I sin. A pestilence comes for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, kills 70,000 people, but not David's family. And so you're like, this doesn't make any sense at all. And then all of a sudden it stops, and the messenger says, built an ark, an altar, on the threshing floor of Onan. Right? And this is where we are right now.
What verse?
1 Chronicles 21, verse 18 and 19. And the messenger of Yahweh commanded Gad to say unto David, very important to realize too, was David a prophet?
Yeah.
Yes, he was a prophet. Why didn't Yahweh just talk to David? He does. And other times he sends a prophet to David. And that's with Bathsheba. He did that. And all of a sudden he's doing it right here. So remember, Yahweh can communicate to us and talk to us, but sometimes he's going to tell somebody else to give a message that many times we don't want to receive. So don't throw that person off to the side and say, why do you hate me?
A messenger, yeah.
Yeah, because they're a messenger. And the messenger of Yahweh commanded Gad to say unto David that David should go up to rear an altar unto Yahweh in the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. So David went up according to the word of Gad, which he spake in the name of Yahweh. So we know this is where the signs start coming. In verse 26, and David built there an altar unto Yahweh, and caused to go up a sin sacrifice and peace offerings, and called unto Yahweh, and he responded by fire. So what it appears here, that he put the animals up here, and didn't put any flame underneath it. Might have had wood underneath it, but no flame. And Yahweh confirms it by sending fire from heaven to light the sacrifice. Peace offering, and called him Yahweh, and he responded to him by fire out of the heavens upon the altar of a sin sacrifice. David, that's never happened to David, to knowledge. And Yahweh gave word to the messenger, and he put back his sword into his sheath, At that time, when David saw that Yahweh had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. But the habitation of Yahweh, which Moses made in the desert, and the altar of ascending sacrifices, were at that time in the high place at what?
Gibeon.
Okay, so there's still, the altars are still in Gibeon. And David could not go before it to seek Elohim, for he had been terrified because of the sword of the messenger of Yahweh.
Is that literal?
Yeah, listen. Then said David, this is the house of Yahweh Elohim, and this is the altar of ascending sacrifice for Israel. So, so this is foretelling. This is where it's coming. It's going to come from Gideon to here. Let me see here. Yeah, I'll stop there. Now we go to 2 Chronicles 1, because that never happened in his lifetime. Solomon's going to build the temple. And so, what a blessing it is that David, when he gives all this information, Yahweh gave him all the revelation for everything. And so here's all the map. He's an architect. Here's everything that's going to have to do. So all Solomon's got to do is put it together. And you can't wait till David, when he is raised from among the dead, to get to see what he only saw on paper. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 3. And Solomon and all the convocation with him went to the high place that was in Gibeon. For there was the tent of meeting of Elohim, which Moses, the servant of Yahweh, made in the desert. So we know it's there. Now there's going to be a transformation in verse 13. And Solomon came from the high place that was in Gibeon unto Jerusalem from before the tent of meetings and reigned over Israel. So still in Gibeon. Now we go to 7, verse 1 and 3. Now when Solomon, this is the dedication of the temple, which the Holy of Holies is called the Debir, but it's come from Debar, word, and so the people translate oracle. So this is where Yahweh spoke. The covenant was the 10 words. Those are words. And so it's not the ark. It's what's in the ark. And it's not the tablets. It's what's written on the tablets are the words of Yahweh. Now when Solomon made an end of praying, fire came down out of the heavens and consumed the ascending sacrifices. This happened before. This is, I think, I forget, it was 7 years on building the temple, I think. But, 7 to 10 years later, after David had the, it could be even longer than that, before the fire came on his altar. Consumed the ascending sacrifices, and the sacrifice and the glory of Yahweh filled the house, so that the priest could not enter in the house of Yahweh, because the glory of Yahweh filled the house of Yahweh. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the descending of the fire and the glory of Yahweh upon the house, then knelt they down with their faces toward the ground upon the pavement, and bowed themselves in prostration, and gave thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, for age abiding, as this is said. So that's a confirmation of this is the new place. Now, Solomon, as we know, disobeyed Yahweh, and so Rehoboam followed in his footsteps, and now we're going to see a split between the 12 tribes, and that's Jeroboam. Now we're going to see, we're going to come back to that, the counterfeit. So 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 11 is all about Solomon's foreign wives that made him fall. And so we go into 12. Solomon goes to sleep. Rehoboam ends up not listening to the counsel of youth. I wonder if they ever got fired. You're always looking at people. The old man said, be nice to the people. The young man said, put terror into them.
Threaten
them if they do. And he listened to the young men. And so the kingdom was split. In 12, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem. He's in charge. And Yahweh gave him the kingdom. He was anointed by Yahweh in the hill country of Ephraim and dwelt therein and went forth from thence and built Penuel, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Why? Because the Israelite men were required 3 times a year to go to Jerusalem. And now he's saying, well, that's going to be a problem. 27, if this people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem, then will the heart of these people return unto their Lord, unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will slay me and return unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. Wherefore the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Now think about this. He's going to pray on this. How far is Dan from Jerusalem? Dan is 100 miles. So the people who lived in Dan had to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. So walking, let's just say, even 30 miles a day, it's going to take you 3 days just to get there and 3 days just to get back, and that's walking good 30 miles a day. So obviously that's a task. Bethel is only 10 miles. And so if we look at, okay, if we start a kingdom from Bethel to Dan, well, that's 90 miles. Well, if we put a god at Bethel, which is the holy place, and a god at Dan, which is what we're going to make a holy place, some people will have to go 45 miles to Dan or 45 miles to Bethel. The kingdom's 90 miles of Israel. And so they're going to like that. Some people, everybody say, yeah, I didn't like that walk. And lo, thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel. And really, that brings everything to Jacob. And Jacob was called at Bethel Israel. We're Israel. This is our holy place. We don't need the temple in Jerusalem. And the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin. And the people went before the one as far as Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests from the whole compass of the people who were of the sons of Levites. And Jeroboam made a festival in the 8th month. What month is it supposed to be?
7th.
The 7th month. And so Feast of Tabernacles, the holiest month of the year is the 7th month, which is a Tishri. You have the new moon, you know, which is Tishri 1. On Tishri 10, you have the day of propitiation, the one day where the priest went into the Holy of Holies, which was the beer. And then on the 15th, you had the Festival of Booths, which you had 7 days of rejoicing. So this is a great time. But he's going to say, we're going to have to change that. And actually, the Communist Party did this, and so did the French.
Napoleon did that.
Yeah, so did the French, and they try to break those holy days. Mm-hmm. And one made the week, instead of 7 days, they made 5 days. Another one made it 10 days to get rid of that habit pattern. And Jeroboam made a festival in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like the festival which was held in Judah, and offered up on the altar, likewise did he in Bethel, sacrifices to the calves which he had made, and he kept in attendance to Bethel, the priests of the high places which he had made. And remember, the people all knew this. They knew what Yahweh said. Mm-hmm. They've had, you know, even with David, it was 40 years of people, you know, coming according to the law of Moses, that you had to go do the sacrifices. You know, you had to go to probably Gibeon, you know, where the sacrifices were, not Jerusalem, but Gibeon, 3 times a year. Bethel, on the first day, on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month which he had devised out of his own heart. So here's the counterfeit. It's close. Interesting. And we have counterfeits today in Christianity. Counterfeit. Made an exact imitation of something valuable with the intention to deceive or defraud. That's what the definition of counterfeit is. So I want it very close, and Bethel is perfect. Dan, there's no association, but Bethel is perfect. verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 1. And lo, a man of Elohim came in out of Judah by the word of Yahweh unto Bethel, as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make perfume. So here's Jeroboam doing this, who was anointed by Yahweh, and he made proclamation against the altar by the word of Yahweh, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, lo, a son to be born into the house of David, Josiah his name. This is going to happen 350 years later, when this prophecy is coming to pass. Who shall sacrifice upon thee the priest of the high places, who are making a perfume upon thee, and human bones shall be burned upon thee. So is this a holy place anymore? No. So, and Yahweh completely knows. They're always doing that. So you think of a homosexual grabbing the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And calling themselves gay. And so there's always a corrupting influence that jump on a community and twisting it and then trying to make it their own. Rainbow's a good example. Let's see here. Back to the top. Sacrifice upon thee the priests of the high places, who are making a perfume unto thee, and a human bone shall be burned upon thee, and he shall give on that day a sign, saying, this is the sign of which Yahweh has spoken. Lo, the altar is to be rent, and the ashes that are upon thee shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when the king heard the word of the man of Elohim, which he proclaimed against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam was real happy and repented. No. Thrusted forth his hand from off the altar, saying, lay hold of him. Whenever you speak the word of Yahweh many times, it could be the same response. Silence him. And that is the Democrat Party today. It's called canceling. So the whole thing is, if we don't like what you say, we're going to take away your voice, cut it off from media. It's always that way. And his hand which he had thrusted forth against him was dried up, that he could not draw back to him. Moreover, the altar was rent, there broke right in front of him, and the ashes poured out upon the altar according to the sign which the man of Elohim had given by the word of Yahweh. And the completion of this is Josiah does this, we have to go there, 2 Kings 23:14 to 18.
Imagine when he read that.
Yeah. And then I'll ask him, when he was cleaning the house, because he read the word of Yahweh, remember with Josiah, they found the book in the temple.
And they're in Judah. He goes up to Israel again.
Yeah, yeah. But he owns Bethel at that time. Here's the book of the law, and so you don't know if you're sinning unless you have the book of the law telling you you're sinning. And then he went up there and did that, and they said, who's this grave? Well, that's the prophet who said what you were going to do. And you just did it. So he said, leave those bones alone. So, you know, great testimony. So that's how Jeroboam corrupted Bethel. Another illustration of the counterfeit was Moses' staff, the ensign. And so I think people remember that.
The bronze serpent.
Yeah, the bronze serpent is, we don't have to go there, but Numbers 21, 8 through 9. He builds a bronze serpent of people being bit, and if they look at the bronze serpent, and this is really the sign of our medical community in the United States today, the serpent around the deal, they are healed. But then in, 300 years later, and King Josiah, let's just go 2 Kings 18:4. Everybody knows about the serpent, but they got to realize, they didn't realize people started worshiping it. This is Hezekiah. He removed the high places and break in pieces of the pillars and cut down the sacred stem. You know, this is always Yahweh's people. There's always, going back to Baal, to the images. And that's the same way with us today. And beat in pieces the serpent of bronze that Moses made, because unto those days had the sons of Israel been burning incense, whereunto, so he called it Nehushtan, which is a bronze thing. You can see the footnote there.
Bronze god, okay.
Now we look at, how does that pertain to us today? Okay, today we have a holy place. And you know where it is?
Inside of us.
That's right. It's right inside of us. And that's 1 Corinthians 3. But the Catholic Church is not going to say that. So in the Catholic Church, the holy place is in their church. And it's called the Eucharist and all these other special things that happen inside there. And the Protestant, I'll get to also. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. You want to read that, Wendy?
Know ye not that ye are a shrine of Yahweh?
And we're going to say the shrine is the Greek word they have is naos, but naos is not the correct word. Naos could be any temple. The shrine or the debir is only the holy of holies where so the temple is broken into two compartments. Here's half is where you did all the ceremonies every day, and then the holy of holies, the other half, you only went in once a year, and that's called the debir, the holy of holies. So go ahead.
So
and read that.
That should read, ye are a
you debir, are a debir of Elohim.
Of Elohim.
Or of Yahweh.
What were you reading?
Know ye not that you are a debir of Yahweh, and that this, the Ruach of Yahweh within you does dwell? If anyone does mar the debir of Yahweh, Yahweh will mar him. For the debir of Yahweh is holy, and such are ye. You know, bringing anything polluted into the holy of holies, this is what Yahweh's where he abides. Now we go to chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians. See it again, 19 to 20. Know you not that your body is a debir of the holy Ruach that is within you, which you have from Yahweh, and you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify Yahweh in your body. Yeah, our body is the holy of holies, the debir. Now you go to one last place, 2 Corinthians 6, 16. And what agreement hath this as a debir of Yahweh with idols? For we are the debir of an Elohim that liveth. Even as Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them, just like the Holy of Holies. I will dwell in them and walk and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come ye forth out of their midst. You know, there's a separation for holiness. And be separated, saith Yahweh. And one impure do not touch, and I will give you welcome, and will become your father, and you shall become my sons and daughters, saith Yahweh of hosts. It says Lord Almighty, but that should be Yahweh of hosts. So, we get to see that, and I think that would be about it. So, the Protestants, where they ended up, you know, the counterfeit is that you have spirit, but it can't do anything. So there's no nine manifestations. So a few will say you can speak in tongues. All right, and that's good, but, you know, prophesy, speak in tongues, and interpret. Everybody's waiting. And so now you have the counterfeit, too. So not only Satan couldn't get people to stop having the Ruach, I don't know if the Catholic Church would even consent that people have the Ruach.
Some of them do.
But there's no power. And so that's the counterfeit. If you got something, we're going to make it where it's unprofitable. Or it's not unprofitable. There's no profit to it. Okay, and we'll go ahead and end there. We get to hear from our Heavenly Father by the Ruach HaKodesh. Father, we thank you for these words. Rejoice, again I say rejoice, in my word and my revelation that will open your eyes and your heart to come to me. So as you bend on knees and bow to me, come to me with open hearts and minds, and I will fill you if you seek my word and my presence. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.